Daf is Daf Mem Aleph. So Gemara on the top, Mem Aleph Mem Aleph, quotes from the Mishnah discussing the Birkas Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol would say in Yom Kippur, after he would complete the Avodah, there's a whole series of brachas that he would say. So Gemara says, V'kori achar mos v'ach ba'asar. So when he'd leave the Kodesh Kedoshim and complete the Avodah, he'd read different parts of the Chumash, particularly from achar mos, which describes the Avodah Yom Kippur, and ach ba'asar, which describes Yom Kippur as well. So Gemara says, Ruminhi, they ask a question, Medalgin b'Navi ve'Medalgin b'Torah. A person's allowed to skip around when it comes to the Nevi'im, but when it comes to the Torah, a person's not allowed to skip around. So how come there's a heter for the Kohen Gadol to skip from Achar Mos, which is found in Parshas Sefer Vayikra, rather, and then skip all the way to Ach Besor, which is found in Sefer Bamidbar? Isn't that a violation of Medalgin b'Torah? So Amar Abaye says, Lo kasha. Depends how far he goes. So as we know, they used to have, when the Baal Kari would read, every pasuk there'd be a Maturgamon explaining, giving the translation in Aramaic, the definitions of the Chumash. So if he had said a pasuk, and then while Maturgamon was giving the translation, you have enough time, 30 seconds, 60 seconds to get to the next spot. So if it was within reach that you get to the next spot by the time the Maturgamon is complete, that would be permitted. But if it takes longer to get to the next spot, and he'd be finished the translation, and you'd still be scrolling, that would be a problem. So it must be that going from Achar Mos all the way to Achar Besor would be within the time of the Maturgamon. But the Gemara says, doesn't it say on that very bright of Aha Allah Katani, on it does it not give the following qualification? Medalgin Menavi Ve Medalgin B'Torah. That a person's allowed to skip the Torah, but not skip. Rather, a person could skip when it comes to Nevi'im, but he may not skip when it comes to the Torah. V'ad kama medalgin, and how long is a person allowed to skip when it comes to the Navi? Ad kidei shlo yifsok haTurgum. When describing how far long he's allowed to skip when it comes to the Navi, that's where we qualify enough time to get to the next spot. As long as the Maturgamon has not finished the translation yet. But the implication is, Mechlal de Betorah klal klal lo. Sounds like that when it comes to the Torah, you're never allowed to skip at all. Again, the only time you're allowed to skip is Navi. And how much time do you have to skip as long as you get to the next spot by the time the Maturgamon is finished? But the Torah, there's no heter for skipping. So again, back to square one, how is there a heter for the Kohen Gadol to skip around from Achar Mos to Ach Be'esor? So Ella Amar Abaye, Abaye gives a different explanation is as follows. Lo kasha, kan binyan echad kan mishnei nyanim. The lach is, when it comes to when we say you cannot skip in the Torah, that means you can't skip from two different inyanim. When it comes to one inyan, then you're allowed to skip no matter how long it takes to skip. So that means from Achar Mos to the pasuk of Ach Besor, since it's the same inyan of Yom Kippurim, there's a heter to skip around. But the Gemara quotes from the Braisa, which seems to indicate otherwise. V'hatanya, doesn't the Braisa teach us? Medalgin b'Torah binyan echad. Ubanavi b'shnei yanim, that you're allowed to skip the Torah within one inyan. You can skip. You could also skip with a navi with in two inyanim, v'kan. But both Torah and navi, respectively, b'chadei shlo yifsok haTurgamon. You're only allowed to skip so long as you get to the next spot by the time the Maturgamon is complete. Vein medalgin menavi lenavi, and you cannot skip. Oh, this is probably coming as a raya by the Hatani. He's a benichusa. And support for this inyan, again, the answer of Abaye was, when it comes to the Torah, you could skip from one inyan to the same inyan. That's the case of Kohen Gadol. When it comes to Navi, you're allowed to skip even to two different inyanim. But both of them, the how long you have to get to the next spot is, you have to be the next spot before the Maturgamon finishes. And further, the Braisa says, v'ein medalgin b'navi l'navi, and if you are skipping from one Navi to the next Navi, it has to be within the same Sefer, within Yeshua, from the beginning of Yeshua, let's say, to the end of Yeshua, or all within Shoftim, or all within Shmuel, whatever Navi you're in, you can't go from Yeshua to Yeshaya, let's say. Uvin Navi shel Shnemasar Medalgin, when it comes to the Navi, which we also refer to as Treasar, the 12 small Navim, or which are lumped together, you're allowed to skip within each of those. We view that as one big Sefer. When we say you're allowed to skip within Treasar, as long as you don't go from the beginning from the end all the way to the beginning. That's the only qualification in terms of skipping around. Okay, so a number of different details here, but that's the heter for the Kohen Gadol skipping because it's all in one inyan. The Gemara now says, V'gola l'satar ma'anicha b'cheiko v'chule. So what happened is, after the Kohen Gadol would finish reciting these different sections of the Torah, he would then roll it up and close it, and manich b'cheiko, and hold it on his chest, and he would say, he said, Yosef mimashikarisi, more than what I read is written in front of us. And then he goes on to cite some sukkim al peh, and then he completes the brachas. So the Gemara says, v'kol kach lama. What's the need for all this? Why does he have to state that that there's more that written here than he actually said? Shlo hotzi laz al sefer Torah. So Rashi says, what's the concern here? Shlo hotzi laz shlo yomu parsha shu kari al peh eino m'ksuva bo. When he begins to recite the Pesukim Baal Peh, there's a concern, wait a second, why didn't he read inside in the Torah? Isn't there halacha the Gemara tells us based on the Pesukim Torah Shevichsav Yef Shar Leomim Baal Peh? When it comes to the written Torah, you're not allowed to recite any of it al peh. So why is the Kohen Gadol reciting these Pesukim al peh? It must be it's not in the Sefer Torah. It must be that there's a taos, there's a mistake, there's missing words, missing Pesukim. So in order for people not to assume that way, he says, there's everything's written here, but I can't scroll to all these different Pesukim, so that's why I'm saying it al peh, but don't worry, this is a kosher Sefer Torah. So then the Gemara says, well, why not simply v'lichuche, the first wide line, v'lichuche, I'm sorry, the last narrow line, u'be'eser shebechom shebechudim kor al-peh, then he'd read the different parts of Parshas Bamidbar al-peh. So Gemara asks, v'lichuche, let's say for v'lichuche, why not just scroll to that area, to that section of the Torah, and read it? Why does he have to say it al-peh? So Rav Huna, Bar Yehuda, Bar Mashesh, l'fisha ein golden sefer Torah b'tzibra, because you're not allowed to scroll the sefer Torah in the tzibra. It's not covered tzibra for them to wait. So v'lisei sefer Torah acharina v'likrei. So just bring a second sefer Torah. We do all the time. We have this coming Shabbos. There's going to be three sefer Torah. There's going to be for the Parsha. There's going to be for the Chanukah. And there's going to be for Rosh Chodesh. So bring a second sefer Torah. And you don't have to roll around to the next part. And there's no shaila of shalahol tzilaz al sefer Torah. So Rav Huna by Yehuda Amar mishum pegamo sharisham. There's a concern that if you bring a second sefer Torah out, you're going to say, "Oh, why didn't they read from the first sefer Torah? Must be there's a pegam. There's something missing in the first sefer Torah." So comes along Rabbi Shimon Lakosh Amar. No, I'll tell you a different reason. The fish ain bevarchin bracha shenetzricha. You're not allowed to say a unnecessary bracha. So when you bring a sefer Torah, second sefer Torah out, there's going to be a need for a second bracha, and that second bracha is really going to be unnecessary. So in order to avoid extra brachas, so we say don't bring a second sefer Torah out. Where says, wait a second. Umichashin lefkama. Is there a concern of a pgam? We don't have any other instance where we bring out a second or third sefer Torah. So we just said v'hama Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka. He tells us that Rosh Chodesh Teves shechal yos b'Shabbos this coming week. Maybe shlosh Torahs. You bring out two sefer Torahs. Kori achas meinyan hashayom. One is with regards to the parsha Vayigash. Achas shel rather miketz. Achas shel Rosh Chodesh ve'achas b'shal Chanukah and three sefer Torah. So why don't we bring out two sefer Torah for the Kohen Gadol who reads on Yom Kippur? So answers the Gemara, Tlasa Gavri, Tlasa Sifrei Leka Pagama. When you have three people reading from three Sifrei Torah, they're each getting three Aliyahs, so there's no Pagam there. But Chad Gavra, Betray Sifrei Ta'ika Pagama. When there's one person, in this case a Kohen Gadol, who read from two Sifrei Torah, then there's a Chashash of there being a Pagam. And that's why we don't allow for a second Sifrei Torah to be brought out. The Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, Mevarach Alev Shemona Brachos, when you recite, when you complete, rather, the reading of the Sefer Torah in Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would recite Abrachos. So Tanur Rabbanan, Mevarachan al HaTorah, Kedech Shem Mevarachan B'Peis Knesses. You say a bracha on the bracha of Torah, Birchas HaTorah, no different than what we would say in the Shul. And then you say, Al HaVodah, Val HaOdah, Val Michias Avon, Kisikun Al HaMikdash B'Fnei Atzmo, Val Kohan B'Fnei Atzmo, Ayisob B'Fnei Atzmo, Val Yishlam B'Fnei Atzmo. So these were the eight brachas. A Birchas Torah you'd say bracha of HaVodah, you'd say bracha of HaOdah, you'd say bracha of Michias Avon, because it's Yom Kippur, you'd say the bracha on the Beis HaMikdash, a bracha on the Kohanim, a bracha on Yisrael, and then a bracha on Yishlam. That gives us a total of eight brachas that the Kohen Gadol would say. And then finally, the Gemara says, before we get to the next Mishnah, Vashar Tefillah, and the rest would be a Tefillah, he would say. What do you mean, Vashar Tefillah? So the Gemara explains, Tanur Rabbanan, Hashar Tefillah, Techina, Rina, Uvakasha, Shamcha, Yisrael, Tzvichan, Yivashaya, Vechosim, Bishomei, Tefillah, Mika. So that's what they would do. That was the remaining part of the statement, the Bracha Tefillah of the Kohen Gadol. And then, Mikan Ve'elach, from that point on, each one would go home, bring their Sefer Torah, the Kori Bo, and they'd recite from this, V'chol Kach Lama, K'dei Laharos, Chazus L'Rabim. So what does this mean? Very interesting. Rashi explains, Mikan Ve'elech, from that point on, La'achar Shigmar Kohen Gadol Likro Parsha B'Birchoseh, after the Kohen Gadol would complete the reading of the Sefer Torah, Each one of the members of the tzibur, mevi sefer Torah mibeso, they go home and bring it la'azara. They go home and bring it to the Azara. So wait a second, we're talking about Yom Kippur here. Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. It must have been there on Yom Tif. This is not a typical Yom Tif. The end of Yom Kippur is like a Shabbos with respect to Hotzah on Shabbos. It's not like Yom Tif. Yom Tif, you're allowed to carry outside if there's no Eruv, if it's for a certain Tzarech. On Shabbos, if there's no Eruv, and Yom Kippur, if there's no Eruv, you can't carry. So how are you allowed to carry? So the Gemara says, the Kesavar ain Eruv Hotzah Yom Kippurim. They're assuming, this first, there's a big machlokas, how you categorize Yom Kippur. So we pask in Yom Kippur, it has a din of Shabbos when it comes to Otsa. So Rashi says, this man number thinks that it has a din of Yantif. There's no requirement of an Erev Otsa on Yom Kippur. It's like a Yantif, and that's why they're allowed to carry it, even though there is no Erev. And the second answer, Rashi, is Inami Yushalayim del Sosea Nulos Bilayla Umarvin Eskola Kula. So the halacha was, no, that Yushalayim had a din, since you would close the doors of Yushalayim at nighttime, it had a din of one big walled city at one Erev, and one would be allowed to carry on Yom Kippur, just like one would be able to carry on Shabbos. There was actually an Erev. So there's two ways to explain how they're able to carry their Sefer Torah from the house to the Azara. What were they trying to accomplish? Right? The Gemara says, Laharos chazusa l'rabim, chazuso, lesson of seeing. So Rashi explains, Laharos chazuso shel Sefer Torah v'noyo, they wanted to show off their Sefer Torah and the beauty of each of their Sefer Torahs. D'hamar mar, the Gemara tells us, in Nazir, Zekili v'anveyu, hasna l'fanav b'mitzos b'sefer Torah na b'tizis na. The mitzvah, the pasuk, Zekili v'anveyu, means to show and beautify one's mitzvah. And one of the examples given is to show the beautiful Sefer Torah. So that's what they all went to do. Sounds like an interesting thing. Why Dafkin Yom Kippur would they go do this? And wouldn't it be an issue of a gaiva trying to show whose Sefer Torah was nicer? Sounds like a very interesting din that they would do. Now, one thing I'm thinking is that Yom Kippur was the day that we received the second Luchos. So certainly there's a very strong correlation between the Torah and the Yom Kippur. But it still sounds like an interesting din here. I wonder what they explain. Apparently the Rambam leaves out this din of bringing the Sefer Torah. He doesn't mention this at all. So the Yehuda explains is there's no din here. This is what the Gemara is just describing what they used to do. It was a Maisa Shehayah. That was how they practiced. But there's no halacha involved in this. They did this on their own. And that's why the Rambam left this out, because there's no real halacha of this. But other than that, they don't really explain much more. And once you said, like the Rambam, that if he leaves it out, there's nothing to explain. That was just a custom they had, but no basis for this. Okay, the new Mishnah tells us now. Mishnah tells us the Parshas HaMelech Keita. What's Parshas HaMelech? So this was this past year, and there should have been had there been a Beis HaMikdash and perhaps other criteria met, we could have had the mitzvah of Hakel. So that's what the Mishnah here describes. It's called Parshas HaMelech. So Parshas HaMelech Keita. How is the mitzvah of Hakel performed? So Motzei Yom Tov Rishon Shechag, the Motzei, the end of the first day of Yom Tov of Sukkot, going into the first day of Chol HaMoed, that night. B'Shmini B'Motzei Shvi'is, the eighth year of the cycle, which is the year following Shemitah, which is also the first year of the next cycle of Shemitah. So this past the Sukkot, that is. Osen Lo Bima Shel Eitz Ba'Azara, they would build this wooden Bima platform in the Azara. V'Hu Yoshev Aleh, the king would sit upon this throne. Shenemar Miket Sheva Shanim, the Pasuk says, after 7 years, after Shemitah, B'moed on Yisukis, the Gomer. And then what would happen when he would sit on this Bima? Chazan Knesses, Nota Sefer Torah, he would go take the Sefer Torah out of the Azara. V'nosa the Rosh HaKnesses, pass on to the Rosh Knesses, Nosa L'Skan, V'Skan Nosa L'Kohen Gadol. Eventually, it would make its way over to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol would then Nosa L'Melech, give it to the king. V'Melech Omed, he would stand up, V'Mekabel, the Koriv Yoshev, he would receive the Torah while standing, and then he would sit down and read from the Torah, the Parshas HaMelech. So Grifas HaMelech, one halacha, interestingly, is halacha is that we pask and the person's supposed to stand up when reading from the Sefer Torah. Balkor needs to stand up. There is a debate, b'di'evet, if he sat down, whether he's yote b'di'evet. But l'chachili, he should certainly stand up. So how come the king here would sit down when he read the Sefer Torah? So two answers are given, if I remember correctly. One answer is that this is not really a din of Kriyas HaTorah here. He happens to be reciting the Sefer Torah, but this is not a classical Kriyas HaTorah. It doesn't have to follow the normal halachas of Kriyas HaTorah. Others answer, I think the Be'er Sheva discusses this, others answer, no, this is a classical Kriyas HaTorah. The reason why he's allowed to sit down is because the Gemara Megillah tells us when it comes to someone who's learning something in depth, he sits down when he learns. When it comes to somebody who's learning something lighter, he stands up when he learns. So normally the Kriyas HaTorah on a Shabbos is considered short, so that's why the Baal Kori stands up. But here, as we're about to see, the Melech reads a lot. So it's considered learning in depth, learning a lot, heavy stuff. So therefore, we tell him to sit down in order to read the lengthy Kriyas HaTorah that he's about to perform. So anyway, so the king would, that's what he would do. So Gemara Dal Mishnah rather describes to us a Grupus HaMelech, Amar V'Kibel, he stood up and then he received the Torah. V'Kara Omid, and he would actually stood while he even read the Sefer Torah. V'Shavchu Chachamim, and Chacham praised him for what a wonderful thing, what a nice Kavod HaTorah you're giving by standing while reciting the Sefer Torah. When he got to the pasuk, it tells us when appointing a king, you cannot appoint a guy to be a king. His eyes started to get teary because he wasn't Jewish. Agrippa Melech wasn't Jewish. So he got upset that, wait a second, the Torah tells me I can't be king. What's going on here? He got very emotional. So Amrullah, the Chacham said to him, Al tis yare Agrippa, achinu ata, achinu ata. Agrippa, don't be so upset. You're a brother, you're a brother. So what does that mean, you're a brother? So Rashi explains, Agrippus HaMelech, this is the last three narrow lines of Rashi, Melech Yisrael Haya, he was a Jewish king, or the king of Jews, as you say. Haya Mizar Shehordes V'hu Shenicha Beis HaMikdash B'yamav. He was a descendant of Hordes, and Hordes was the one who the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed during his time. So he started to cry because Zal Goinav Dimalas Shamikra Hazeh Posel Menamalchus. This disqualified him from being king, since he wasn't Jewish. Achinu ata she'imo miYisrael. Says no, don't worry. Even though your father wasn't Jewish, your mother was Jewish. Says Rashi, and therefore they were considered. He was considered a Jew, as we know. A Jew goes based on the mother. So I believe the Rambam says otherwise. I think the Rambam says that he wasn't Jewish. I think they were incorrect for praising Agrippa. Did they point this out? Let's see. Two different ones? Oh, interesting. Okay, I thought once with the Rambam said different. Oh, yeah, here we go. The Rambam here. The Rambam says the fact that they said Achinu Ata was only because of Shalom Malchus. But it sounds like Be'etzim, he really wasn't a Jew. He didn't have a din of a Jew. Either he must have held that his mother wasn't Jewish or something. Okay. So the Mishnah continues to describe now. So what would they read? What would the king read? V'kori mitchilas elo hadvarim, from the beginning of Sefer Devarim ad Shema. And then they'd read for Shema v'ayam Shema, Aser Taser, Kisechal al Aser, Uparshis Melech, which is Shoftim. So they're jumping around throughout Sefer Devarim. And then afterwards he would say the brachos uklalos ad shegomer kol parsha. And then he'd say brachos shekohen gadol mevarech, Osan hamelech mevarech osan, whatever brachos the kohen gadol would say, the bracha of the kings would be the same. El Shenosin shall regal him tachas mechias avon. But in place of mechias avon, which we said on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would say on Yom Kippur, he would replace those with the words of the regalim. Because we're talking about Sukkah, so he mentioned regalim instead of mechias avon. So this was the description of what took place there during the Parshas HaMelech. Okay. The, I thought Rashi said something here. I wanted to see. Okay, I thought he did. There's a discussion about the building of the Bima. The building of Bima took place on Matzei Yontif. So what happens if you have it on Shabbos? Could you have, let's say the first day Chol HaMoed falls out on a Shabbos, could you build a bima? Could you have the whole process of Hakel on Shabbos, or do you have to wait until Sunday, the second day of Chol HaMoed? So there's a machlokas in Yerushalmi. Everyone agrees you don't have it on Shabbos. The mission, Megillah says you push it off, but the question is why? Why do you push it off? So machlokas in Yerushalmi, one opinion says because you're not allowed to build a bima on Shabbos, and the other opinion says because they used to blow the shofar, and you can't blow the shofar on Shabbos. So one of those two reasons is why you have to push off to Sunday. So Rambam says one reason, the Ravid says another reason. I thought Rashi said one of the reasons also, but I'm not seeing any Rashi here, so I'm skimming through. But what it comes down to is, I think, what the reason you choose depends on the nature of Parsha HaMelech. Parsha HaMelech, there are two things that are taking place here. One is the king's reading, and the other thing is that the tzibur is listening and receiving all the messages here, the Musar. So is it really a din of the tzibur listening, or is it really a din of the king reciting? It's a din of Kriyas HaMelech, or is it a din of Shmias HaTzibur? So if you assume that it's a din of Kriyas HaMelech, so perhaps you would suggest that the bima, the building of bima, would be ma'akev, because he has to have a platform to read upon. It's a focus on the Kriya, focus on the Melech. But if you assume it's about the Shmias HaTzibur, that the tzibur has to listen and get the Musar, so perhaps it's going to be because you can't blow the shofar in Shabbos, that's why I push it off. The purpose of the shofar was in order to gather everyone together to say, okay, everyone pay attention. This is the siren. This is the alarm. Pay attention. If you can't get the shofar to blow, you can't get their attention, then there's no point in reading because it's really a din in the Shmias HaTzibur. So that might be totally on how you understand the nature of the mitzvah of Samelach in the first place. All right, the Gemara now says in the bottom of Mem Aleph and Aleph, after that we completed the Mishnah, Bishmini Sakadaitach. So the Mishnah had said on the 8th. So what do you really think? On the 8th, what's the Shaila here? So I guess the Shmini they initially thought was referring to Chag HaShmini, Shmini Atzeres. So how could you say you read Shmini Atzeres? Doesn't it say first Motzei Yom Tov Rishon, the end of the first day of Sukkot? It's not the last day of Sukkot, it's not Shmini Atzeres. Where it says, no, Ema B'Shminis. Not Shmini, Shminis, the 8th year of the cycle, the year after Shemitah, this past year, or this year that we're in now. Why do you have to give all these descriptions that it's the 8th year, which is the year after Shemitah? It's so repetitive. So the Gemara says, Tzrichi. You need to say all these descriptions of the year that we find ourselves in. Why? If it said simply after the Shemitah year, Havamina Nimnu Behashta, count from now. So what does it mean, count from now? So Rashi says, if you look at Rashi, four lines from the bottom, the last word on the line is Tzrichi. He goes on to the third line now. He says, "Kol ha-simanim." Why do you need all these different simanim, these descriptions halalu? Miketz shnas hashmita v'chag asukos v'moed. There's so many descriptions of which day, which date we're referring to. So he explains Rashi nimnu behasha. If it simply said miketz, I would think count from now mishnas arba'im from the 40th year v'hala shibarvos moav namer parshazu. This parsha of Hakil was told to Am Yisrael when they were in Arvos Moav. So maybe he said, start counting from now, right now where we're in the Midbar, in Arvos Moav, count from here, 7 years from this point, whatever, regardless of what cycle we're in. Count from right now. V'yafa gavdlo mistarmi b'shmitah, even though we're not talking about Shemitah yet, shlo nimanu shmitim alachar sheva shekivshu v'sheva shechilkum. They didn't count the Shemitah cycles until Yeshua entered into Eretz Yisrael. And then they conquered for 7 years, and then they divided the land for 7 years. That's when they started Shemitah. But had we not mentioned Shemitah, we simply said Miket Sheva Shanim, I would have thought count starting from now, Arvos Moav, nothing to do with Shemitah at all. So that's why you have to mention Shemitah. So back to the Gemara now. Again, E Kasa Rachman Miket Hava Mina Nimnu Mehasha, count from now from Arvos Moav, V'afa Gav Dilo Mesar Meshmita, even though we're not dealing with Shemitah as of yet. Therefore, Kasa Rachman Shemitah, we have to balance it by no from the Shemitah. Whenever Shemitah cycle starts, that's when we begin to count the Miket Sheva Shanim. Now, V'kas Rachman Shemitah, had we just taught the word Shemitah, Havamina B'sov Shemitah, maybe we'd think the last year of Shemitah, the 7th year maybe we'd have thought. That's why it says, Kas Rachmana B'moed, what Rashi says here, no, a little different than what I just said, Sof Shemitah would have meant Kodim Rosh Hashanah, before Rosh Hashanah, of the end of the Shemitah year, Shashminis, the Ham Miket Sheva Besof Shnas Mashma. If I said Miket Shnas, Miket Sheva Shnanim rather, if I said that, Miket Sheva Shnanim, I would have thought the end of the 7th year, right before Rosh Hashanah. That's why we need Moed to say, no, Sukkis, the Sukkis that comes after the completion of Shemitah. Then the Gemara says on the bottom here, had we just taught Moed Sukkis, Havmina me Reishasa, from the beginning of the year, maybe the first moed of the year, maybe it's referring to Rosh Hashanah. That's what it's referring to. Kasarachmana b'chag Sukkot. No, the moed of Chag Sukkot. The Kasarachmana b'chag Sukkot. How do we talk Chag Sukkot? Only Havamina afil yom tov achron. Maybe you could even do it on the last day, even on Shmi Atzeres. So therefore, Kasarachmana b'voko Yisrael. When they come, when do they come? They come in the beginning of the yom tov, the first day of Sukkot. Mas Chalasa Dimoid, from the beginning of Sukkot. So all these different descriptions are telling us to make sure we have no confusion that's supposed to be referring to the first day of Sukkot, the Sukkot that follows the completion of the Shemitah year. You see, Rashi says on the top here, "Miemis demaschil moed," from the beginning of moed, he writes, "Umi biyantiv lo." You're not allowed to have hakel on yantiv itself. Shein tikun habima docha es losa Shabbos losa yamtiv. That's what I mentioned to you before. That the reason why you can't have it on yantiv for Shabbos is because you're not allowed to fix the bima. Umi esmol. So maybe you should have built it erev yantiv. What you could have done is built it erev yantiv. And then in Yantiv itself, there's no difficulty of building the Bima. It's already built. So he says, why didn't you build it from Erev Yantiv? So he says, Umeasmo, Nami Lo Avdiron, but you also can't build them Erev Yantiv, Didatche Le Azara. Because then you're going to take away a space that you need for the Azara. You need the most as much space as possible because it's going to be very busy during Yantiv. So if you have a Bima there, it's going to take away a lot of extra room. The reason that Rashi chooses is based on the Gemara Yushalmi that we mentioned. The Katani Hakel Me'achrin Akeshachal Yos B'Shabbos. The Me'achrin falls out on Shabbos, you're Me'achrin, you delay it, you push it off until Sunday. The Kamar, and the Yushalmi says, Mipnei Abima. What's interesting though is that he completely ignores the other reason of the Yushalmi is that the blowing of the shofar, like we mentioned. Doesn't even mention it, even though he mentioned the Yushalmi. So again, I think that's because Rashi, the Shitaso, he has a lot of different diukim on the Mishnah, which seems to indicate he thinks the focus of Hakel is about the Parsha Melech, it's the din of the king's reading, and therefore he gives the reason of the Bima, as opposed to the Shmia of the Tzibur. Gemara now says in the very top of Mem Alpha and Beis, the Chazan HaKnesses Notas Evertovah Nosel Rosh HaKnesses. They have this whole line passing to the next person, ultimately to the Melech. Shmasmina, we learned from here that we saw yesterday as well. Cholkin kavod l'talmid b'makom harav. So why are we giving to all these people who are below the king? It must be even in the presence of the king, in the presence of the Rav, we would still show kavod to the Talmud as well. That's why we're giving it to the others as well. And the Gemara says, no, not true. Amar bai hakula mishum kvodo demelch. The reason why we give to people, it's showing extra kavod to the king, but not to show kavod to the Kohen Gadol or to the Skan Kohen Gadol. It's really just to build up to the show ultimate king, kavod to the king himself. Now the Gemara quotes in the Mishnah that the Melech Omed of Makabe v'kare Yoshev, Agrippa's Melech Omed v'kiba v'kare Omed. The halacha was that the king is allowed to sit down when he reads, and Agrippa decided to stand when he read. And the Chacham were very impressed with that deed of his. So, Omed Mechlal de Yoshif, does that mean when he stood up, does that imply that he was sitting beforehand? So it means, Agrippa HaMelech, he stood to receive the Torah, and he remained standing to read the Torah. So was he sitting before that? There's a Mar say that Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara El Malchei Beis David Bilvad. The only people who are allowed to sit in the Azara is Beis David. And Agrippa did not come from Malchus Beis David. He had no heter to sit. So how come it says he stood, implying that he was sitting beforehand? He had no heter to ever sit in the Azara. As the Pasuk says, Shinemar, Vayavo Malch David, Vayoshev Lefne Hashem, Vayomer, that David came and sat in front of Hashem. Only David had a heter, but no other king had a heter. No other Malchus had such a heter. Rashi says, L'malchi Beis David, Avalo, L'malchi Beis Chashmonoi. So very appropriate that we're reading this, of course, today. It's the Erev Chanukah this year. We're reading about the Chashmonaim, that he came from the family of the Chashmonaim, it sounds like. So it goes on, the Gemara explains, no. What we're referring to is Kedamar of Chista, Ezra's Hanoshim, Hachanami, Bezra's Hanoshim. We're describing Ezra's Hanoshim. The Isser of sitting down other than Malchus Beis David was referring to the Azara proper. In the Ezra's Hanoshim, which was outside that area, then anyone's allowed to sit. And that's what we're referring to. This whole discussion took place in the Ezra's Noshim. Gemara says, V'shavchu Chachamim. The Chachamim had praised Agrippa for standing up while reading from the Sefer Torah. Shavchu Michal the Shaper of it. Since he praised him, does that indicate, it would seem to indicate, that he did a wonderful thing by standing up? But Hamar, Rav Ashi, Afilu Laman Damar Nasi, Shemacha Kvodo Kvodamachom. Even according to the opinion who says that a Nasi is permitted to be mochel on his kavod, when it comes to a melech though, melech shemachal kvodo, ein kvodo mochel. But if a king attempts to be mochel on his kavod, his kavod is not mochel. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, som tasim alecha melech. He's supposed to place upon you the king should take a maso alecha. That there has to be constant aima of the king. The king has to always be in the proper dress and the proper form. And even if he's mochel on the kavod, there's still constant mitzvah to build him up and to show kavod. No matter how many times he's mochel, the mechila never takes effect. The way to understand that could be twofold. Either you could understand really it does take effect, But the moment he's mochel, I have a new requirement to give another, to show proper kavod. So there's a circle that goes on of him being mochel, then being having a chiv to be mechabit him. Or do we say that there's never a mechila? Mechila is not even effective at all. It doesn't even, it's not even chal. But in the end of the day, if we're dealing with the king here, so how would the king, well, how is he able to sit down, I would rather stand up and show lack of kavod? I mean, we're supposed to sit down because he's the king. He's allowed to sit when he reads. That's his kavod. I'm going to be mochel on kavod. I'm going to stand up instead. That's being mochel on your kavod. A king can't be mochel on a kavod. So says the Gemara, when it comes to mitzvah shining, when it comes to mitzvah, it's different. When it comes to mitzvah, the purpose of a mitzvah, then he can be mochel on his kavod. Is there a Rashi here? I don't see any Rashis here. But we see just, generally speaking, that the purpose of mitzvah, the purpose of the mitzvah of Hakel, he was allowed to be mochel his kavod and stand up instead of sitting down. So there's an interesting question Tosos asks here. He asks elsewhere as well. You look at Tosos here. We could skip the first few lines, but go to the four lines from the top where it says Vakashilari. See Vakashilari there? It's Kashilari. Amai lo mishani hachi b'perek sheni ksubis. Why don't they give this answer in the Gemara and Ksubis, Daf Yud Zayin? What's going on in the Gemara Ksubis? Mavir nes hameis milfnei makala. What happens is, let's say you get to a crossroads, and there's a little traffic jam, and at one end is coming a mace, and from the other end is coming a kala. Who's going to go first? So you say, mavir nes hameis milfnei kala. We let the mace go before the kala. She waits, and we bring the mace in front. Let's say the mace meets up with the Melech Yisrael. We say the mace goes first. So the Kala meets up in the crossroads with the king. We let the Kala go first. So the Gemara says, Amru alav al Agrippus HaMelech. Agrippus HaMelech had another story with him. Shavar lefnei HaKala. He actually went in front of the Kala. He seems to go against what the halacha was when he met up once with the Kala at the crossroads. V'shevchu Chachamim. The Chachamim had praised him for a wonderful thing. The kaparach mechlad the shaper of it. Does that mean he did the right thing? V'ha'ma Ravashi v'chule. I think I misread this. I'm sorry. It must be the other way around. That we say that the king is supposed to go before the kala. Here, Gagribis Mavirim, and he said the kala goes first. He let the kala go in front of him. So it sounds like he was mochel in his kavod. How could a king be mochel in the kavod? So the Gemara answers, Mishani Miparshas Drachim Have. It's Parshas Drachim. So he says, why didn't he give the answer? V'amai lo mishani mitzvah shani. He should have said he's mochel in the kavod for the mitzvah of Hachnesses Kala. That should have been the answer. That's why he's able to mochel in the kavod. Just like Agrippus is mochel in his kavod to stand up while reading from the Torah, he was also mochel in the kavod to allow the kala to go in front of him. Why did they not give that answer there? Just trying to jump to the answer here. You jump a little bit further down now, more than halfway down the Tosfos, it's Venir Latarets. I'm not sure. Good. The first word in the line is Machel. So he says, Venir Latarets. The Dafka Hacha Shayach Lamemar Mitzvah Shaini, the Mochal Kvodo, Mishim Kavar HaTorah, Shu Kavar HaShchina. Is that a generic statement? That any mitzvah, the king can be mochel for any mitzvah. This particular mitzvah in the Gemara and Tzolot is referring to the Kavod HaTorah, which is the Kavod HaShchina. So the king, for the Kavod HaShchina, so he can be mochel and is covered for that type of mitzvah. A Ben Adam L'Makom type of mitzvah, if you will. But when it comes to Ben Adam Chavero, the mitzvah of the Kala, that's not considered a mitzvah. He can't be mochel on that type of Kavod. It's a very limited type of mitzvah that he can be mochel on. Okay, back to the Gemara now. The Gemara says the two dots are halfway down the narrow lines in on the Amud here. Uchshegil elo sucha loses. When Agrippus the Melech got to the pasuk that says you cannot have a non-Jewish king, he began to cry. Zatana mishmei Rabbi Nosson boses show that moment. Nischaibu soni Yisrael klia shinchinifu lo Agrippus. All the enemies of Israel, which is referring to all the evil people within Israel, the evil Jews, the bad Jews, whatever that means. They were nischayv klaya. They were decreed to be wiped out because they showed chanifa. They were flattering the Agrippus HaMelech incorrectly because he shouldn't have been the king. He wasn't right to be the king, and they were giving him praise anyways. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta biyom shegavar agropo shel chanufa nisavu hadinim v'nizkaku ha'maisim. From the day that the Rashi says agrofa is kochel shel chanufa, the strength of flattery, the afagav dimam Yisrael, even though Agrippa's mother was Jewish and Itaka seems to be roi for the king, ain roi l'malchus David haya v'zili milsa. He, in the end of the day, was still an eved. He was an eved because the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that the last descendant of the Chashmonaim was a woman, and she was on top of the roof, and she declared out, if anyone says they're from Beis Chashmonaim, they're only of Adam, because I'm the last descendant, and she jumped off the roof, so wiped out the entire mishpacha of the Chashmonaim. So Gibson Melech came to the Chashmonaim, but he was an Eved, as the lady, that woman had told us. So so therefore he was an Eved, even though the mother was a Jewish, the father was Eved. So therefore, it's a tremendous bizayon to have such an eved to be a king, and that was a difficulty here. So the Gemara says now again, from Yom Shegavra Agufa Shachanufa, the day that the strength, the koach of chanufa, flattery, that day that it became so strong, Nisavu Hadinim. The Rashi explains Nisavu Hadinim, the din, judgment became distorted as well. Because shechnifu hadayanim es bali adin, the judges would now give flattery to the ones coming to be judged. Everything got turned over on its head. The dayanim can't start praising and showing favor to the bali adinim, so everything started getting messed up. V'niskalku ha'maisim, and all the different actions started getting disturbed. Rashi explains v'niskalku ha'maisim shagdolim ro alvri avera v'lo michu biyadam mipnei chanufa. One of the Gedolim, the Rabbanim, saw people doing Averos, and they always like to be very positive people. And therefore, they didn't say a thing. And nowadays, we always be very positive, very positive. You always have to be positive. You can't be negative at all. It's very important to be positive. When you see someone doing something wrong, so you can't be positive then, and be flattery, and always be lovey-dovey. Sometimes you have to put your foot down. So because of the Chanufa, this idea came in. It became very, very problematic in terms of the structure and the society of Klal Yisrael. Furthermore, the Gemara says, "Vein Adam Yachal Lomar Lachaveru Ma'isa Gedolim Mima'asecha." A person couldn't say to his friend that the actions of the Gedolim are greater than your actions. People had a difficult time saying that. Rashi says, "Vein Adam Shiyachal Lomar Lachaveru Ma'isa Gedolim Mima'asecha Shemitoch Shalomicho Be'Ovri Avera." The fact that they were not protesting the actions of the Ovri Avera. Lamdu Adora says, "Harais Ma'aseim V'Nimsakulim Ovrim." So they all started learning from the actions, and everyone started doing averos. It became a terrible thing. So Darish Rabbi Yehuda said, "Rabbi Yehuda bar Ma'arva, v'yisem Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, mutter lahachnif l'rishayim b'olam hazeh." A person talk is allowed to give flattery to a rasha in this world. Shenemar lo yikare ol l'navel nediv u'lechile lo yomar. So let's go to the whole pasuk, make sure I tight you right. So again, lo yikare o l'navel, nadiv, u'lechilai lo yemar shoah. So it's forbidden, Yeshaya is prophesizing, that l'asir lavo, it's going to be asir to call a person who's a navel, manuvel. You can't call him a nadiv. Nadiv is a nice name. You can't call it something like that. And l'chile, apparently someone who wants to drink wine a lot, it's aser to call him a shua, because that's it's a nice thing. I'm not sure what shua means. Does it say? Yeah, it's a compliment. So it says only l'aslava is aser to call a navil a nadiv and a chile a shua. Only l'aslava, but b'olam hazeh, in this world, it's permitted. You can give people flattery. Even though, in these compliments, even though they don't really deserve it. What that means exactly, I'm not really sure why that would be permitted. But that's what he's learning from the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Comes on Reish Lakish, he says, I agree, the same din, but I'm learning from Amar Mehalcha. I'm bringing another Pasuk, a Pasuk that's found in Bereishis, in the Torah. Kiros Pnei Elokim Vartir Tzeini. What's the context here? Are this referring to the meeting of Yaakov and Esav? Yeah. So it says, "Kros pnei elokim v'titeni." So seeing you is like seeing the Hashem, seeing a malach, and hopefully you'll Yaakov says to Esav, and therefore he's giving flattery. So we see from here that Yaakov gave Esav flattery, even though Esav was obviously a Rasha. We see that's permitted b'olam hazeh. Makamz long a pliga the Rabbi Levi, the Amar Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi argues and says, "Mashal she Yaakov Esav lamada v'domer." This story of Yaakov and Esav, what's it similar to? La'adam shezimen es chaver v'hikir bo. A person invites his friend to a meal. V'hikir bo shemavakesh lahargo. He invites him over and realizes that his friend, who he just invited, his guest, wants to actually kill him. Sa'amar lo tam tafshu zeh shani toim ketafshu shetamti b'veis ha-melech. He says to him, the taste that I taste from this food is like the taste I tasted in the house of the melech. The other way around. So rather, the guest realizes that Baal Bayis wants to kill him. So the guest begins to flatter the Baal Bayis. Oh, you cook so nicely, or your wife cooks so nicely. This food's delicious. You know, this food's so good. It tastes like what I used to taste in the Beis HaMelech. This is royal food. So he was trying to hint at him that I come from royalty, so don't kill me, because if you kill me, you're going to be messing with the king. That's what he's trying to hint to the Baal Bayis here. So Amar, so Baal Bayis says, and he says, wait a second, he says to himself, Yadalei Malka. This person, the guest I wanted to kill, knows the king. Mistafti v'lo katila, he gets scared and doesn't kill him. So Yaakov, when Yaakov was speaking to Esav, it wasn't because to give him Khanifa. He was saying to him, listen, I know the king. I know Hashem well. So seeing you reminds me of the Tzelem Elokim of Hashem. And Esav said, wait a second, you're that close? You have a direct connection to Malachim and to Hashem? I'm not going to kill you now. So it wasn't because of the din of Chanufa. It was his way of hinting at, stay away from me. It was a good tactic, that's all. But you can't bring a raya that's permitted in general for a person to give Chanufa to a Rasha in this world. Says the Gemara now, Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol adam sheish bo Chanufa mevi af le'olam. The person who has this, gives this flattery, brings tremendous af, anger, to this world. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, in Eov, the chanfei lev yasimu af. Those who are chanfei lev, those who give chanifa, are going to place af, place anger in this world. V'lo, oh, not only that, ela, she'ein tfilaso nishmas, that tfila won't be answered. Shenemar lo yishavu ki asaram. They're in lo yishavu, they're not going to be, there's no yeshua for them. There's not going to be a response to their davening. The Gemara has a mnemonic here to remember the next sugyas that are coming ahead. Simen af over gehenim biyado nida and gola. Just the Baam Tosis here says, kol mechanef lechavero. Do we read that line here in the Gemara? Yeah. So Gemara says, kol mechanef lechavero yesh lefarish shelo b'makum sakana. It's only describing where there's no danger to a person, where it's also to give flattery. If there's a dangerous situation, then if that's going to be a way of saving a person's life, then that's permitted. The Gemara in the Darim tells us, Ula Azil La'arad Yisrael. Ula had traveled to Eretz Yisrael. Lava Bahadei Tre B'nei Chuza. And he was being escorted by two individuals. Kam Chad Shachti the Chavri. One Shachti the other. So now it's just Ula and this murderer with him. What's he going to do? Amalei La'ula. He says to Ula, Yos Avdi, did I do the right thing? You did the right thing. Uparla beis hashchita, and you exposed the shechita. You killed the guy very nicely. So what was Ula doing there? How could you tell him for killing someone that's the right thing? So kiyos lekami de b'yochan amalei dilma chasvasham achaska yadei over yaver. Maybe he was concerned. Ula got very scared. Maybe you had supported a murderer. Amalei Rabbi Yochan nafshe chatzalasa. What do you mean? You saved yourself. You saved yourself for the purpose of for saving your life. Then it's allowed. This probably becomes a very big issue, because let's say a person confides with you in something he did incorrect. Let's say he comes to the rabbi and says, I murdered someone. So now, do you have a responsibility to tell authorities, or no, do you have to save your own life? Now, if you tell, he's going to go after you. So that becomes a big issue of sakana. You could praise him, and that's more like covering up. It becomes a big issue of exposing things that you know, as opposed to saving your own life. So here in the Makom Sakana, it's a chanufa. Chanufa is permitted. Okay. The Gemara now says, the two dots around eight lines up, Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol adam sheish bo chanufa, filo overin shubim, Shibimei iman mekalalin osa. A person who has this idea of chanufa, even the fetus that's in the mother's stomach are going to curse him. Shenemar omer l'rasha tzadik ata yakbu amim yazimu l'umim. So they're going to say to the Rasha, tzadik ata, they're going to call him a tzadik. They're going to call Rasha a tzadik. And yikvu amim, the nations are going to yikvu. What does yikvu mean? It's ain kov el akala. Kov is a lashon of kala. They'd curse him. Shenemar lo kabukel. Pasuk that's found in Balak, in Bilam. Bilam said this. Vein laom el ubern. It was omin. It refers to the uber, the fetus. Shenemar ul om milom yematz. So someone who says to Russia that he's a tzaddik is going to be cursed by even the uber that's bimei iman. Comes along another statement. Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol adam sheish b'chanufa nofa b'gehenim. Anyone who has chanufa will fall to Gehenim. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Hevei ha'omrim l'ratov l'tov ra. So those who call good bad and bad good, in Maksav Achav, what does it say next? Lachain, and therefore it says, Ke'echol kash l'shon esh v'chashash l'heva yirpe. Lashon of fire, referring to the fire of Gehenim, such individuals will fall to the fire, fall to Gehenim. Another statement, Amar b'lazar kol ha'machnif l'chaveiro, sof nofa b'yado. So eventually, a person who gives chanufa ultimately will fall in the hand of the one he was hichnif, the one himself he was flattering. That person is going to end up falling to his hand. Where, how do we know this to be true? V'meino nofa biyad, if he doesn't fall to the hand of the one he flattered, nofa biyad banav, he's going to fall to the children of the one he flattered. V'meino nofa biyad banav, nofa biyad ben beno, eventually the grandchildren. Someone in that family who he flattered is ultimately going to, whatever, take control of the one who flattered him. Shenemar, as the pasuk tells us, v'yomer Yirmiyah l'chananya iman, that Yirmiyah said to Chananya, amen ken yaseh Hashem yakim Hashem es derecha. So, Amen is, I guess, a good thing that Ken Yaseh Hashem, that Yashem did, that he took Nekama from your words. So, I don't know exactly the context here, but he goes on to explain Ksiv, it's written in Yirmiyah further by he who, and it was that Yirmiyah himself, Bishar Binyamin, he was in the gate of Binyamin, Bisham Baal Pekudas rather, and there was a person who was in charge of, he was the Shomer, that nobody should leave the city, Ushmo Yiriya ben Shlemiah ben Hananiah, that was his name. Of the Shomer. Vayispos as Yirmiyah Hanavi, he grabbed on, held on to Yirmiyah so he shouldn't leave. Lemor el HaKazdim ata nofel, saying, you're going to fall to the Kazdim. Vayomer Yirmiyah, Yirmiyah says to him, Sheker, this is not true, and any nofel HaKazdim will not fall to the Kazdim. Uksiv Vayispos Yirmiyah be Yirmiyah viveil al Sarim. So it ended up being, since Yirmiyah had praised Hananiah, ended up being Yirmiyah had fell to the hands to the grandchildren of Hananiah himself. So Yirmiyah himself is the example of such a person who gave chanufa and was punished by being in the hands of the grandchildren of he who he had flattered. Okay, so stop here.